Hello and welcome to the Sex Within Marriage podcast. My name is JD and I blog over at uncoveringintimacy.com. And it's a new month and that means more anonymous questions. For our new readers and listeners, we have an anonymous Have a Question page that you can ask all the questions you want to know the answers to, but are too embarrassed to ask. And once a month, I gather up all the questions and answer them in a blog post and podcast episode like this one. And these are the six questions I received from April of 2024. Before we get to that, though, just one last reminder that we are running a cohort of our Becoming More Sexually Engaged course for Christian wives this spring. The cutoff was officially yesterday, but if you still want to jump in, you have until this Monday. That's the 6th of May, 2024 to join. We're not going to wait for you, but you can easily catch up. We've got 8 wives who are already signed up and are excited to start. So just in case you're wanting to jump in, there's a link to all the information in the show notes, and yeah, it's going to be a good group. With that out of the way, let's answer some questions. So question number one says, we are a senior couple married for 54 years who would like to add some spice to our love life. We have talked about meeting other couples for friendship and fun. We are both Christian and have fantasies about what this would be like. All right, so you don't come right out and say it, but it sounds like you're trying to get me to help you justify becoming swingers, and I'm not going to do that. I can't do that and stay faithful to the Bible. Hebrews 13, verse 4 says that God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. If you have sex with anyone other than your spouse, you are committing adultery. Even if you have your spouse's permission, you do not have God's. 1 Corinthians 7 verses 2 to 3 say that you should have your own spouse and have sex with them alone. Anything else is sexual immorality. Matthew 5, 27 to 28 tells us that lusting after someone other than your spouse is already committing adultery with them. Having sex is definitely committing adultery. Having sex with people other than your spouse is well outside of what God commands us as Christians, and I think anyone who tells you otherwise is a wolf in sheep's clothing and has to do some terrible twisting of scripture to justify it. And sadly, that should be expected, because 2 Timothy 4 verses 3 to 4 tells us that, you know, the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. So don't believe the myth that Christians can be swingers, or that even entertaining the idea isn't already a step into sin. All right, question number two. This husband writes, I feel like it's an odd fantasy, but I'm unsure if it's sinful. But I purchased a plastic chastity device online, and I want my wife to keep me locked in it. I asked her to keep me locked for short periods, a couple of hours to a day. She doesn't seem to fully understand why I want this, but has played along. I like it because it makes me feel submissive, and I want her to feel more dominant and in control. I put the key to the lock on a necklace and gave it to her to wear, but she seldom does. I have two questions. The first is whether this fantasy / desire is wrong to pursue with my wife. And the second question is it okay for me to ask my wife to tease me about being locked in chastity and roleplay with me? So this question to me brings to mind 1 Corinthians 7 verses 3 to 5, which talks about not giving up sex except by mutual consent, except that this doesn't seem to be mutual consent. You're asking her to deny you sex, but she doesn't seem interested in doing so. And if I had to guess, I would guess that you're the higher drive spouse and she's the lower one. I'd also suppose that you're likely to have some conflict around that. And rather than deal with the conflict directly, you're attempting to twist the conflict into a kink, except she's not really interested in playing that game. And maybe that's because she knows that it's not the right thing to do. Maybe there's another issue that needs to be dealt with rather than sweeping it under the rug that you're either both or one of you is avoiding talking about. Or maybe not. Either way, you can ask her to tease you in this way, but I'm going to guess that you're going to be stuck at the same impasse eventually. You're going to want to engage in some sexual activity, even if that sexual activity is chastity, and she won't be very interested in indulging you, bringing you back to square one. Instead, I'd suggest getting out of that submissive role and instead working on resolving the issues rather than trying to find a way of turning them into a kink. Also, it sounds like you want her to tease you about it, which sounds like you want her to degrade or humiliate you in some way, which I don't think is aligned with Christian morals for godly living. We are to always encourage and uplift. And I'm seeing an increasing trend of behaviors like this, where men are becoming more and more submissive, accepting, and even asking for degradation and humiliation. I think this is because the world has been downplaying the role of men in society as well as in families and marriages, even demonizing us for so long that some are just giving up and accepting it. And I don't think that's a healthy thing to do. That's my take on it anyways. All right, question three is, hey, quick question. After listening to multiple podcasts, my wife and I started using a vibrator. It was so awesome that you came up with a new problem. Her orgasm is so strong that it often results in a splitting headache. We love the fact that sex can be this good, but the side effects aren't fun. We have read up on the medical side of it, and it must not be too uncommon. I'm wondering if it's more common than we think. We have not taken this to a doctor. So, yes, orgasm headaches can happen. They're more likely to happen the older you get. The average age for getting them is 39, 40, I think somewhere in there. Also, the more intense the orgasm is, the higher the chance of getting a headache from it. Now, about 1 to 1.5% of the population get these regularly, and there are meds you can take to reduce the headaches. However, if your wife is only getting them when using a vibrator, I would suggest maybe modifying how you use it. Rather than going full on with it and sort of shoving her off the edge of orgasm, instead vary the pressure and use it so that she makes a more gentle climb towards orgasm. You may find that that helps reduce the chance or severity of the headache. Now, there's also a difference between orgasm headaches and sex headaches. Orgasm headaches are related to changes in blood pressure, whereas sex headaches tend to result from muscle tension. If she only gets the headache after orgasm, it's probably an orgasm headache and it's related to blood pressure. If the headache starts before orgasm, then it's likely muscle tension related. Either way, I'd suggest the same thing. Slow down and don't push so hard for that intense feeling, because that's both going to increase blood pressure as well as muscle tension. If you go with a slower buildup, then you'll likely relieve it regardless of which one it is. All right, question number four is, hello, Jay, and thank you for this wonderful resource. This question is of a delicate nature. My wife and I have been married for a few years. Sex was very vanilla, and we are introducing new things only very slowly. Recently, my wife wanted to try oral sex, her receiving, and has found herself greatly enjoying it. She actually really likes it, and I'm very happy for her. However, she absolutely insists on being on all fours, and me being behind her when I perform oral sex on her. I've even suggested that maybe she sits down and can kneel next to the bed or just lays down, but no, she insists on getting it that way and says she feels a lot more comfortable turning away. As I said, I like that she is getting pleasure. I love that she is becoming more adventurous, but I hate that position. My nose is right in her anus, and it is not only off-putting to me, but I can smell her butt sometimes too. I think no matter how clean you are, butts do smell. I love my wife and don't want to offend her. Please help. Thank you. Honestly, I don't know how you get past this without an uncomfortable conversation. I mean, obviously be gentle and nice about it. Don't jump in with, I hate that position because my nose is in your smelly butt. However, no matter how gentle you are, there is a chance she's going to react poorly and oral sex will be off the table for a while, perhaps forever. Now, a simple solution to the problem is to shower before sex. You can do it as part of foreplay and get each other all soaked up, which can be a lot of fun. Another thing you could try is to use flavored lube, which might help mask the smell. I suggest System Joe, as their lubes smell even better than they taste. There's a link to them in the show notes. Lastly, I want to point out that many husbands are likely to read or hear this question and either say that they'd love to be in that position or that they'd never notice a smell. I can't say I've ever noticed a smell, but then we often shower before engaging in activities like that. I just don't want a bunch of wives hearing this and thinking, oh no, does my husband think the same way, and getting all self-conscious. And that is another reason why communication and being able to talk about uncomfortable things is important. If you have good open communication, then you can talk about issues like this. You can also be sure that if you haven't talked about it, then it likely isn't a problem. But suppose you are afraid to talk about sex and uncomfortable topics. In that case, you're going to both suffer with more uncomfortable situations instead of dealing with them, as well as having more anxiety about the things that you haven't talked about because you don't know if it's an issue or not. Anyways, the point is, talk to your spouse if there's a problem or if you're worried there's a problem. Don't keep it balled up, causing resentment, frustration, anxiety, and worry. And of course, there's always the risk it might go badly, but I think the risk is worth it. All right, question five writes, hello, I'm a 27-year-old man who's getting married soon, and of course, I am over the moon. I should add that despite a history of masturbation, I have never had partnered sex. I would like to know about how male stamina develops and how it improves. By stamina, I mean the ability to enjoy penile stimulation from vaginal penetration or other means without having to take a pause or ejaculate. I don't think I have a particular reason to be concerned for myself, but I want to be able to make penetration enjoyable for my bride in addition to other means such as oral. I must confess that I've been masturbating and edging since I was a young teen, but I know this will not directly translate to performance in sex. If I'm not satisfied with my endurance, will it improve with practice? Are there techniques to improve it? All right, just back up a minute. First off, most women don't orgasm from penetration. The chance that a potential inability to hold off orgasm is going to be the thing that causes her not to have an orgasm is pretty slim. It's probably a good idea to recognize that sex is way more than just penis in vagina penetration, because if you're relying on only that, she's likely to be a little disappointed and frustrated. Second, just enjoy sex at first. For all you know from years of masturbation and edging, you may have the opposite problem, not being able to orgasm at all, or suffering from delayed ejaculation, which can be just as much of a problem as premature ejaculation. Either way, yes, sex tends to get better with practice. It can happen in a variety of ways. It may be improvements in stamina, or it may be simply finding different ways to move. For example, grinding is better than thrusting for many women. It may be realizing that intercourse is not always the main event. If everything that you've learned is from porn, the best thing to do is forget everything you know. And don't worry about it. Like, you'll figure it out, but wait until you have an actual problem rather than just a fear of what might be a problem to start looking for solutions. Otherwise, you're just going to give yourself a complex and potentially create a self-fulfilling prophecy. All right, and question six, our last one for today is, my husband and I have been trying to slowly spice up our sex life. We've been doing the same routine and positions for quite a while now. They are tried and true, but my husband has mentioned that we just do the same things and never try anything new. However, we are both pretty reserved and shy about sex. We are really unsure of what we want to try, so I'd like to try slowly introducing new things to test the waters. We both enjoy giving/receiving oral sex, and I imagined us using whipped cream during oral. Is this a bad idea to try whipped cream or chocolate syrup during oral to spice it up? Maybe that's an unsanitary cliche, or maybe there's some other products to try this with. Any help is appreciated. We don't watch porn and have been together since high school, so our imaginations are pretty vanilla. We don't have a lot of knowledge of what there is to try. Your podcast has really helped broaden our ideas/horizons. I've been able to break free from some of my negative views on sex from listening to your theology behind sex. I still have a way to break free from embarrassment or shame, but I appreciate the encouragement you provide through your ministry. Thanks for your help. All right, so right off of the bat, sugar and female genitals don't go well together. There's a decent chance you'll end up with a yeast infection. Maybe not, but it can happen. If you want to put whipping cream or chocolate sauce on him and lick it all off, and I mean all, before moving on to penetration, go for it. But for you, I'd go with your chest instead of your vulva. Even with him, I'd probably wash him off before you move to sex. Yeast infections are no fun. Now, that said, System Joe, which I mentioned earlier, makes some absolutely delicious lubes. I particularly like salted caramel and the milk chocolate flavors. However, they have a whole bunch of other ones, including like strawberry and banana and pina colada, creme brulee. There's a whole bunch. And I have tried quite a few of them. So that might be a good thing to try. As for trying out new things, I just happen to have a massive list of things that you can talk about and try called our Sexploration List. We have a smaller free sample version. There's a link to both of them in the show notes if you just want to dip your toes in. You're not alone in not knowing what you can do and not wanting to look at porn to find out. Porn is, after all, a terrible teacher of what actual sex is like. But yeah, check that out. It'll give you lots of things to try or at least talk about and decide whether or not you want to. And those are the questions from last month. If you have a question, you can ask it on our Have a Question page. A big thanks goes to our supporters who joined in the discussions on the forum. If you want to be part of that conversation, consider donating. Supporters get to see all the questions as they come in and talk about them. Even as little as $5 a month helps us pay for our ever-increasing hosting costs and gets you access to the forum, monthly Zoom calls, which are a blast, and our online version of our sexploration list. And that's it for today. Once again, we have the Becoming More Sexually Engaged course starting soon. If you still want to jump in, you can, but don't wait too long. Talk to you next time.